Well, hi there. You're watching and or listening to Podcast is Broken, a podcast in which we try to make Canadian news and politics a little bit more entertaining. That's new. My name's Brittlestar.
My name's Steve Boots, and I think we make it entertaininger.
Oh, that's good.
I like that. My name is Lisa, and I think we make it alligatorific.
Oh, too soon.
Never too soon.
Wow. Yikes. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Good. Back from the UK. How was Farah? She seemed to do great.
She
was fantastic.
I like her.
She's smarter than me.
Yep.
She's better looking than me.
Yep.
Which means she'll never be asked back again.
That's right. Yeah. She got one shot and that was it.
Exactly. It's a high bar to cross, I must say.
Well, the thing is, if she came on and she sucked, I'd be like, excellent. We're going to keep asking you back every time I can't be here.
Well, and it's funny because Steve and I were like, she's like a real journalist. Like, we just...
I know.
Yeah, she's like, I interviewed Trump. Like, sorry, what?
Who now?
Yeah.
What's it? Yeah.
She's super cool. I love Farah so much. She's awesome. She's smart, like I said, and she just knows she's doing. And she's got tons of experience. She's like a full-time actual broadcaster type person.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She knows stuff. Cool. It was good. It was fun.
She knows stuff. That's her slogan, actually.
Right? Farah, yeah. I know
stuff. Felt like you brought on a ringer.
Right? Yeah. Like, you guys are great, but I could replace you in a heartbeat.
We're all playing Little League.
Exactly.
Ken Griffey Jr. walks up.
Walks up, shoves one kid in his ass, and then just clocks it, dings it right out of the park.
And then walks away.
That's Farah.
In a nutshell.
So listen, we're going to try something a little different this week, and I hope that the people listening at home will enjoy it as much as I have thinking about it and trying to explain the concept to Steve before we started recording.
Long plane ride home, eh, man?
Exactly. It was. A lot of time just spent there with my eyes closed going, what about that?
How can I torture them?
How can I do this? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a little bit of a game where it's going to pit Lisa against Steve and Steve against Lisa, essentially. That's you two.
Is there going to be like a clip of the two of us like
fighting? Yeah, if you want to do that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Points will be given however I see fit. And I'll just determine it at random what happens during the game. But the game's played like this. I'm going to give you a headline, a news headline. This news headline is no ordinary news headline, though. It's a headline comprised of three news stories. And it's your job to determine what those three news stories are. So I will give you a headline. You can think about the headline and then you'll say, I think it's made up of these three stories. Or you can even just do one at a time. That's fine. Because there's no rules because we've never done this before and I don't know what I'm doing.
Excellent. Like so every week.
We're building the ship as we fly it.
Totally. Exactly. Exactly. So shall we get started with the first headline? Are you guys ready?
Let's do.
Okay. Do we have a timeline of these? Like, is it...
Well, what do you mean? Like how long you have to
in
answer?
The last week? No. Like in
I see the news stories. I see the news stories are all roughly within the past 30 days.
Like, I don't remember what happened yesterday, dude. Like, we're going to...
That's not my problem.
Okay, I know. Well,
oh, so if you were playing against like a news robot, that would be unfortunate.
If you're playing against a news robot, exactly.
It's all I do all day, man.
Damn you, news robots. Okay. We don't have buzzers. Well,
that'll teach Elisa for having friends in a social life.
Right? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's what you get for leaving your house.
I don't leave my house. No. If we don't have buzzers, what do you want us to do?
I think we'll just be civil about it. You know, we'll just play the honor system. We'll just do our normal thing. Listen, there's no rules yet. Okay. Once we get into this, by the time, if this actually works and we're doing it like three episodes down, then we'll have hard and fast rules.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get buzzers. Maybe I'll get you buzzers. Maybe I can send you buzzers.
Presents.
Ooh.
In it for the stuff.
Right? Give me the swag. It. Okay.
Fantastic. Can we have the first headline, please?
Steve, Lisa, Brittlestar, here's your headline. Premier's bootlicking sparks AI fraud warnings amidst goat chase.
That's the first headline. The first headline is Premier's bootlicking sparks AI fraud warnings amidst goat chase. Any guesses as to where those three stories are?
Well, the first one, I know it's got to be Danielle Smith, right? Bootlicking Trump?
Nope.
It is not. That one's Mark Carney dropping the digital services tax.
That's right. And I'll give you that point. That's one point. I should probably write this down, shouldn't I? I feel I should take note of who gets what
points. Lloyd Axworthy called him.
Oh, that's extra. That's double points for getting who said it as well.
Come on, man.
Oh God, that was
news robot, baby.
So Lisa, Steve,
zero.
I'm gonna give one. I'm gonna give 2 points to Steve for that. So you got that's the first story. The first story, of course, is exactly right according to Lethbridge News Now, which is where we always get our news. Former Liberal Foreign Affairs Minister Lloyd Axworthy accused Prime Minister Mark Carney of taking a, quote, bootlicking approach to U.S. President Donald Trump. Axworthy stated, flattery is always part of the game, but you can take it to the point where you actually become unctuous. I had to look that up.
Unctuous? Oh, that's unctuous. A good word.
I had some unctuous issues before as well, but I took some tablets, antacid tablets, and it went away.
A little cream. Just rub it on. It's fine.
He also criticized Carney's decision to rescind the digital services tax, calling it part of a secret, trade negotiations.
Honestly, Axworthy kind of nailed it.
You think so?
Trade negotiations?
No, not about that. About the bootlicking. About the, like, what do you stand for? Right? We drop basically $7 billion worth of taxes just to get back to the table.
Okay, but because honestly, that was my first reaction to it when I was like, I was disappointed. I'm like, come on, man, we need a win, right? Like, enough with this conceding stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But as, you know, comments come in and I'm looking over here and I'm reading this over here, like, maybe Steve's going to get mad at me because I'm going to make justifications now. Maybe this is a long game that we don't know, right? Like, maybe it wouldn't have done what we thought it was going to do, because initially it said $7 billion and then it went down into the millions that we would be getting, right? Yeah, the assessment of it. So, and then obviously they would have put that on costs to people because they're going to try and recoup. Anyway, whatever. But maybe, hi, baby. Princess Peachy.
Hi, Lisa.
I missed you. Now I can argue it. Yeah, so maybe it's a long game that maybe we don't know. And so maybe we conceded that to get him back to the table, to make him think he got a win when really it wasn't a win to begin with.
Let's take advantage of the fact that Steve doesn't have his headphones on. I think you're absolutely correct. I think this is one of those ones where it's like, yes, it would have been great, but it's not worth throwing away everything else for it.
Right. I think this should be the Steve and
money.
The Lisa and Brittle show.
I think like that. I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
You know what
exactly. Anyway, so Steve's so smart. I think he's great.
I'm so glad he's with us all the time, knowing
too.
Everything.
Me too. I saw.
Sorry, a pet jailbreak sort of happened there.
If Steve actually cares, he's going to go back and listen to this episode because he's going to want to know.
Exactly.
We're kidding.
Exactly.
We're kidding.
But I'm going to take David Muskrip's side. David Muskrip wrote an article recently stating that the digital services tax was, in this case, though he's loath to admit it, probably one of the things we were willing to say, forget it, man. Don't worry about it. Do I think it's great? Do I think it sends a great signal? No. Do I think it's unctuous? I don't know. I can't remember what that means.
Steve, look it up.
It's like being a suck up, basically. But it's also, right. I always knew it as a food term. It's like for like
something
that's rich and oily kind of.
Well, I mean, there's worse things you could be called
than that. Rich and oily.
2 points go to Steve for getting the first part of the headline. I'll read you the headline again. Premier's bootlicking sparks AI fraud warnings amidst goat chase. We've got Premier's bootlicking. Got that. Any ideas of the next one? I can give you hints as well. We've got hints as well.
Okay.
Do you want some hints?
I think it's hint o'clock.
Hint o'clock. For which part of the headline would you like a hint for?
The goat thing.
The goat one, yeah.
The goat one? Okay. I'll give you multiple choice. Ready?
Okay.
A, a Canadian celebrity went on a reality show searching for a rare wild goat. B, an escaped goat caused traffic disruptions and required police intervention on an Ontario highway. Or C, researchers discovered a new species of goat capable of outrunning police vehicles.
He looked so proud of himself when he read it out.
There's a lot of thinking going on here.
I'm going to go B.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's the goats on the highway.
You're both absolutely correct. You each get a point. Oh, my God.
I'm on the board.
That's super exciting.
Can we do Plinko at the end of this show?
I think so. Just like we normally do.
Yeah.
Okay. Except with cans of beer, which would be good. Yes, you're absolutely correct. According to Yahoo News, an Ottawa area goat nicknamed Vincent Van Goat caused chaos in highways 416 and 401. Have you ever been? Those are busy highways. 401 especially. Now, maybe not the 401 is that busy up by Ottawa Way, but 416 is busy. OPP officers engaged in, quote, a slow-speed goat chase to contain the animal. And the OPP later shared on social media, quote, "We're not kidding you. Our officers had a very important task today. A goat was on the loose."
We're there not you kidding you.
It was on the lamb.
Kidding you.
Kidding you. It was on the lamb.
It wasn't on the lamb.
So to remind you, the score, Steve, you have 3 points. Lisa, you have 1 point. We've got the first two parts of the headline. So the headline again is Premier's bootlicking sparks AI fraud warnings amidst goat chase. So we've got Premier's bootlicking and goat chase is out of the way. So we are now looking at the story about the middle part of the headline. Anyone want to take a guess at that?
I'm assuming it's got something to do with fraud warnings about AI.
God, like a mind, like a steel trap.
Yeah, exactly.
Beyond that, I got nothing.
Beyond that, you got nothing.
I mean, there's always AI fraud. Like, yeah. That narrows nothing down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is it like banks calling you and telling you they need your information? I know that's a big thing that's happening now.
Well, I'll give you, want me to give you multiple choices? Do you want me to do multiple choices again?
Let's do multiple choices.
Okay, here it goes. Here it goes. Ready? Mm-hmm. A new AI program has been developed to warn boots about potential scuff marks. That means not Steve, but actual footwear.
Boots has been scuffed a few times in the last little while.
He's been emotionally scuffed numerous times. B, Canadian experts issued warnings about increasing fraud risk due to AI technology. Or C, artificial intelligence has predicted a global shortage of fraud investigators.
B.
Yeah, that you seems are like correct. A freebie.
You are correct.
Can we make all of these multiple choice?
I'm going to give you each a point for that just because I feel like it's otherwise Lisa's going to stay at one.
Why wouldn't I get a point for that anyway? You should give me
Well, because
two.
You both answered the same thing correctly.
I answered correctly. First,
that's okay. True. All right, I'm taking one off of Steve. No, I'll give him all of them. Just because he doesn't know what we said about
Look
him.
Look at how mad he got. He jumped back in his chair. You missed it.
I warned them before we started. I get weirdly competitive. So,
well, let's fill in the story. So the AI fraud warning story, according to CTV News, experts are warning of rising fraud risk with AI adoption as their first ever Toronto Tech Week wraps up. The Canadian Anti-Fraud Center and the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity issued a joint alert about scammers using AI-generated text and cloned voice messages, which is scary to me because you've heard of the, you know, like the old phoning up saying, "Hey, Grandpa, can you help me, Grandpa? It's me." Mm-hmm. And it's happened to Shannon's grandfather once. It's terrifying to think that you could just get your voice cloned and then there'd be no way to determine, like even if you were, you know, old and decrepit.
So... It's scary and like genuinely one thing that's often recommended is having some sort of like shared code word with your family so that you can verify who you're talking to.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Like honestly, it's becoming more and more important to do. And like sometimes I worry about it just as somebody who there's like a lot of video and audio about there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a worry, right? Because now there are certain apps that just own your property.
Yeah. And there's just that information. That data is being collected all the time. I know that there's even services similar to the services we're using currently right now to record this, where it's like, if I miss a part of words that I'm in my introduction, I miss a part of words. See, like that, I can fix that. If I miss some of the words in the introduction, I could actually type it out and have it say it in my voice.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Which is
so
terrifying,
that we
right?
can just leave, right? And you can just type out all this.
I've got enough. I've got like over a year and a half's worth of content from you guys.
Right?
Really, what are we doing?
One thing that helps with those AI telephone scam things, and this is how I live my life, is you just don't answer your phone ever. I never answer my phone.
None of you have landlines anymore, do you?
No. I have a landline.
I have a landline too.
I just don't answer it.
Yeah, I know. We just had it's $70 a month for our landline. I don't know how much it is for you.
30 something.
About something like that. And it's really just Shannon's mom that'll occasionally call it and our neighbor across the street. We'll occasionally call it as well. Mm-hmm. And it stopped working and they sent out two texts to fix the line because our line goes from here to two blocks back into this hub that is like in the parking lot of a Salvation Army church, basically. And people just like beat the hell out of that box all the time. And the first tech was like, "Listen, man, all I do is I drive by that thing and I stop my truck and I fix it and I drive away and I come back the next day and someone's beating the hell out of it again."
It's job security, man.
Right, exactly. Jobs keep job security. Keep someone in a job.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, good for you. You both did an excellent job there. Let's just see. I'm going to just finish off the story with AI fraud. Jeffrey Horncastle, the Anti-Fraud Center, warned voice cloning is out there, and we anticipate it's going to be used more and more for targeted attacks. Canadians, that's us, are urged to be skeptical of urgent calls or messages, especially those requesting sensitive information or money. Even when I'm getting calls like from places I know that they're going to be calling me, I am hesitant to give out any information whatsoever on the phone. Because it's like, unless I've called the number that I see on your website or information, I'm not going to trust you.
Well, there was a scam, and I mean, this probably, I don't know that it has anything to do with AI, but my neighbor, and then I've seen a few videos of people where their bank called them from the bank number saying a bunch of stuff. Someone's trying to access money from your account. We need this information, blah, blah, blah. But because it's coming from, you know, whichever bank you happen to be banking with, and it is their actual phone number that is coming out, people are giving information on the phone and then getting another call from the bank later saying, you know, X number of dollars have been taken out of your account. And people say, well, I just spoke to you. And they're like, no, you didn't. So like, just again, don't answer your phone.
Just don't answer your phone.
I'm just amazed that they found a way to make spam calls worse.
Right?
Like, that's inspired. They were like, we know you hate the random calls, but now it's not even a person.
If only this energy could be put towards good things. Like the whole AI thing to me, I don't know, man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It's moving at such a rapid pace. That's the scary part to me, is that it seems like it's going to be very difficult to regulate properly.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be used for nefarious activities. Like that's
sure.
And to get people out of their jobs, right? If AI is going to be doing a bunch of stuff, why do you need certain workers, right?
Yeah.
It's icky. Yeah. I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of AI. And I think the biggest reason, like there's so many reasons, but the biggest reason is definitely how many people are going to lose their jobs to something that isn't good at stuff.
If
you ask AI for like a recipe, 90% of the time, it's not going to be great.
So here's a question
for
you.
If you ask it to write a story, it's going to be terrible.
Right? Yeah, but here's a question for you, though. This just as a thought experiment question, not a thought experiment that makes it sound more lofty. It's just a question.
Insert changer there.
Come on, professor.
Exactly. but what happens when it gets really good? Is it okay then?
No, it's worse. Because you're not going to be able to tell the difference between human and AI.
But then does that matter? Well, yes, it does matter. But does it matter? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does matter.
Yeah, very much so.
It's the robot uprising that we saw.
Think about, you know, an entire generation of people like, you know, my parents' age and, you know, whatever, sitting on Facebook watching videos of a politician that are not real, person, saying awful, horrible things. And like in a lot of cases, people who are from generations who they weren't equipped with the tools to be able to sort of parse what they're looking at and verify and all that sort of stuff, they just get fed it by Facebook or whatever it may be. And it's not limited to any one generation, honestly. It's everybody.
No, but like, of course not.
It's hard to know how to break through that and how to protect against that. Because like, what do you do? It's getting more and more convincing every day.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's get our newscaster to tell us headline number two.
Let's do.
Steve, Lisa, Brittle Star, here's your headline. Boa rescued. Toronto POS raids reveal ancient mummy link.
There you go. Boa rescued. Toronto POS raids reveal ancient mummy link. I need you guys to tell me what three news stories that headline is comprised with of.
Oh, my.
No.
I mean, the first there's a pretty simple guess you could make initially.
Okay, say it one more time for us.
Boa rescued. Toronto POS raids reveal ancient mummy link.
Well, boa could be a snake or a feather scarf, so I'm kind of
a
quandary.
Your guess is that someone rescued a feathery boa.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
I'm deducting a point of Lisa's.
I'm going to roll the obvious direction and say that some sort of a snake was rescued by animal personnel. I don't know.
I'm reaching here, man. That makes it sound like the personnel are animals. Animal maybe services. They
just a bear going out
to
get the steak.
We all saw that documentary, Zootopia.
That's exactly.
Documentary.
I'm going to give Steve that point because that is correct. That is the correct answer.
So, no, I thought Lisa there was the funnier, but whatever.
A boa constrictor, according to CTV News, a 1.5 meter, 5 foot, just in case you're in the imperial system
Thank
still.
You.
Boa constrictor was located and safely captured in Miracle Beach Provincial Park on Vancouver Island. The BC Conservation Officer Service had to close trails in the park during the search for the reptile. The COS reiterated that boa constrictors are considered a restricted reptile under provincial regulations and cannot be released into the wild.
Because we don't have them in the wild. No this case. Is why we live in Canada, so that we don't have boa constrictors in the wild.
Who is taking a boa constrictor? And listen, it was fun for a while. But
you
he's
go.
Now 5 feet long. It's time to just go. On you go, buddy. Get out of here. Right. Nobody wants you around here. Get out of here.
I'm sorry. All I can do is think of like some random person walking on a trail in BC and a boa constrictor falls on them. And it is like crushing them. And the two thoughts in their head are like, oh no. And why is there a boa constrictor here? I thought I was safe.
What does the search look like for a boa constrictor? Like, how do you block off trails? Like, do
With
they
really,
do that?
Really low fences.
Do they do the thing where they all line up, like when they're looking for missing people, and then they walk
and
along?
They all, and they're like, oh. And your foot touches a little stick or something. You're like, oh my God, that's God. It.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. Anyway, the boa constrictor was found and safely captured in that park, provincial park. So that is the first part of the headline. Boa rescued. Toronto POS raids reveal ancient mummy link. We need to find the origin of the two other news stories, rather the two other news stories that comprise the headline.
POS raids.
Mm-hmm. This is the most I've seen both of you like, think on any episode of Podcast
like I know
is Broken ever.
The acronym I'm thinking
off
of.
Your mouth. Hot takes that don't mean anything to you.
It's because we're in competition.
Okay.
She doesn't want to give me the satisfaction.
I'm just here to have fun. So.
Well, you came to the wrong place.
All right.
Ask anyone who listens to this podcast.
I would like a hint for the mummy.
You'd like a hint
Alec?
For the mummy.
I like a lifeline.
See, this is it. This is I like. That's exactly how we should be playing the game. You should just say, I would like a hint for the whatever part of the headline you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple choice. Again, ready?
Okay.
A, ancient DNA research revealed the genetic connection between ancient Egyptian and Mesopotamian populations. B, a recent movie premiere featured attendees dressed as ancient mummies. Or C, archaeologists discovered a new, previously unknown link between mummies and modern pop music.
A.
Yeah, A.
You're both correct. I'm going to give you each a point for that. Steve is at 6 points. Lisa is at 3 points. I'll read you the story from that. That story is, according to AP Science writer, ancient DNA, sequenced DNA is something totally different. It's the Denmark National Exhibition. It's a great time every summer. But
I
it's
just
not
thought,
what I'm
not
talking
sponsored.
About right now.
No.
It just exactly. seemed like your inner Scotsman came out for a second there.
DNA.
DNA.
According to AP Science writer, ancient DNA sequenced from a 4,500-year-old skeleton found in an Egyptian tomb revealed a genetic link to Mesopotamia. About one-fifth of the genome from the skeleton showed connections to the Fertile Crescent region. The research published in the journal Nature provides insights into early human migrations and trade routes. There you go. So it was well done. Good for you. Now you got one more story you have to guess. The whole headline again is Boa Rescued, Toronto POS Raids Reveal Ancient Mummy Link. Any guesses as to that? Do you want some hints for that last one?
May as well.
Yeah, I don't know what POS is. It's probably something
okay.
very simple.
All right. Here we go. A. Thieves are targeting Toronto businesses by stealing money through their point-of-sale terminals. B. Toronto police conducted raids on illicit party operating system clubs. Or C. A new public art project in Toronto involves installing giant POS terminals across the city.
A.
A.
A is correct. Lisa gets the point there.
Why? She's just too quick, man.
I should be getting a half point more because I'm answering them
first.
That's
not how the game works. This is, you'll never be a better person if I let you just
anybody's
get away with
listening,
that.
If you could put in the comments of this podcast that I should be getting
Let's see. According to CTV News, thousands of dollars are vanishing in seconds as thieves target Toronto businesses' point of sale, POS, terminals. The scam often involves processing fraudulent refunds on the machine. So instead of paying for something, they're putting money back on cards and stealing the money from the merchant. One Toronto business, Souvlaki Hut, lost $2,000 when a customer processed a manual refund on their Clover POS machine. A security expert stated that many POS terminals are misconfigured from day one, which makes it seem dumb. If you're in the POS terminal business, get your act together. Because it should be misconfigured from day one.
Dad has spoken. Who's
letting them out of the factory?
So how is this happening? Like,
are these good to go? It's misconfigured, but just get them out there.
You so sure? Brittlestar told us to shape up.
Right? We were being told. So like when they hand you over the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, are people...
I think it's like when you go into like a smaller establishment with the older
like
Souvlaki
Hut. Yeah, okay.
Like Souvlaki. I'm not saying what kind of level of technology Souvlaki Hut has.
Well, I feel that it's a small business, and so
it sounds like a small business, and it's maybe the older terminal where you have to like stick your card into the machine or swipe your card down the side, and then maybe punch in a PIN number or something. There's some key touching happening. That's my guess.
I don't like how you said that. But it would either be on the POS machines, it would either be sale or return. Like the buttons would be sale or return.
Well, maybe they know a special cheat code. Up, up, left, left, down, down, right, right.
Maybe it's stores that sell everything through an iPad.
Do you think it may be that?
I don't know.
And people are just
like Apple Pay, maybe? I don't know. Either way. Don't answer your phones.
Have you been? I haven't been into a place that that requires me to put the card in unless it's over a certain amount, like a high amount, like over $300, I think, for me.
Yeah, I think like sometimes if it won't read my, whatever, what is it?
Chip.
Chip. Okay, if I won't read the chip, then I have to.
I'm deducting another point from Lisa.
I'm delighted at how long she spent waving an imaginary credit card.
I know. but I like the tap system. I like that very much. So just coming back from the UK recently, what I really like is taking the underground, the tube, as they call it, with my Apple Watch. I just beep in and out, which is fantastic, which is great. I love it. Thanks. Don't all join in on your experiences.
The only thing with tap that I always worry about for people is that if you do drop your card,
like
people can go around and tap multiple, until you get the call from your bank that you're not going to answer because you can't be sure it's your bank.
Though I did have my Amex card was stolen. The number was stolen when I was traveling last summer and I was in Vancouver. But literally within moments of it being used, I got a message on my watch and on my phone saying, listen, your card's been used in some far off location somewhere in the States at this coffee place. Did you actually spend $300 on coffee? And I was like, no, I did not spend $300 on coffee in Colorado or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the technology is there to stop this kind of stuff from happening, which I think is good.
God, I think it's bad. I think I'll have you know.
You could have just agreed with me.
I think people should go and be able to tap money, and I never.
Not everything's an argument, guys.
You set it up as Lisa.
Yeah, he's waiting
for
us to jump in on him. So, like, okay, I guess I'm against it.
this new format's going great.
I'm really enjoying it.
Let's review the points again. We've got 6 points for Steve and one. 4 points for Lisa. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's all good, man. Like,
no, it's all good. Yeah, exactly.
We're having fun.
It shows that you're trying, and and it shows that you just came to have fun. I think that's nice.
I
think
that's really sweet. There. I'll get a ribbon at the end. That's all I care about.
Shall we finish off with our final headline?
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay. Our final headline. If we can have the newscaster come forward, who's going to be this time and tell our last headline?
Steve, Lisa, Brittle Star, here's your headline. Coyote bites birthday boy. Pope's ancient vacation sparks meat warning.
I just especially love the words meat warning.
The way that your AI that's taking the job away from a real newscaster said meat warning.
Exactly. Exactly it. I was going to hire Farah again to do that, but she was too expensive. Headline again is Coyote Bites Birthday Boy, Pope's Ancient Vacation Sparks Meat Warning. That's your headline. What are the three news stories that make up that headline?
Those are only three. Like, I counted four.
Nope. I'll read it again. Coyote Bites Birthday Boy, Pope's Ancient Vacation Sparks Meat Warning.
So I'm going to... The Coyote Bites Birthday Boy, I feel like... Was that... That happened somewhere in Canada, didn't it? Is that a thing?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to deduct half a point if you get it right now after this, but it did happen in Canada. That's correct.
Why is that a deduction?
I think it's only fair. We want to keep Lisa interested.
It makes the rules.
I don't know what to add to the headline beyond Coyote Bites a Kid. I'm pretty sure it happened.
But you're unfamiliar with the story. Would you like the multiple choice for
yes,
the story?
Yes.
Okay. I'm good with multiple choice.
For the first part of the Coyote Bites Birthday Boy. Okay, we've got a birthday party was interrupted by a group of coyotes. B, a 12-year-old. That's it.
I thought there'd be more.
It really felt like there was a second part of that sentence.
Just like they walked in and it was really awkward.
They weren't invited.
They were like, oh, shit, is this a party? God, it's your birthday? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, man. I didn't even realize.
It was black tie and they weren't dressed properly.
Exactly. B, a 12-year-old boy in Ontario was bitten by a coyote outside his home before his birthday party. Or C, a new children's book features a friendly coyote who delivers birthday messages.
B.
Yeah, B. And she beat me to it again.
That's right. You're back in it. You're back in it, Lisa. You're at 5 points to Steve's 6.
I only have like one coyote story living out on the prairies, but it's like the most ridiculous thing. So you don't see them that often. Like they don't like come into the city. Like if you live out on a farm. Yeah, exactly. And you know, they're mostly just off buying stuff at the Acme store.
Exactly.
Dropping anvils from the sky, shit like that.
But this is back. I worked at a daycare and we were doing like a day excursion to go to a farm near the city that had like a petting zoo set up. And so we were on two buses and there was one bus ahead of us. And this kid was watching a coyote sort of running along in this field. And we were like, oh, that's really cool. And talking about what the coyote was doing. And then it runs in front of the bus ahead of us and gets hit only in the head.
Oh.
And it just drops. And the kids in my bus that saw this and were watching this coyote are like, is it okay? And we were like, oh, yeah, we saw it getting up and resilient. Running back into the field. Yeah,
they're very resilient. He's just resting.
He's just going to shake it off. Shake it off, coyote.
We're like, oh, yeah, he got up and went back into the field. He was okay. He just got knocked out.
What a terrible story to tell.
By a bus.
I live in Edmonton.
I've heard of it.
In urban Edmonton. And we get coyotes all the time. I get coyotes in my backyard.
Because we rarely get them here in Ontario. I mean, they are here in Ontario, but like in the city, there was one maybe about a month or so ago that has been spotted near in our neighborhood. But they're bigger than dogs, right?
They're bigger than dogs. Their snoots are longer than dogs, and their tails are fluffier. And generally, when they're walking, their tail goes straight out, like not up. Like I don't know why I'm doing this. Nobody can see this. Up like a dog.
People who watch the video can see.
No,
it.
But my hand's way over here.
Oh, yeah, you're getting cut out of the vertical. Yeah, do your motions tiny.
Okay, so their snoots are longer. They're a little bit bigger. Their tails are fluffier, and they go straight out instead of up like this. And they kind of walk a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, they can jump a 6-foot fence like nobody's business. Like they just walk up to the fence and go bloop.
So with this tail straight out and jumping over 6-foot fences, who are they trying to impress?
They're trying to lure your kitties and bunnies.
Yeah.
It's
the same as when they paint a tunnel on the side of a cliff.
It's just for roadrunners. Catch the roadrunners.
Roadrunner can get through. Exactly. Why the coyote? Anyhow, yeah. That's
back to the headline. Coyote Bites Birthday Boy, Pope's Ancient Vacation Sparks Meat Warning. Again, I just like saying meat warning. Do you like any hints for that stuff?
Meat warning. Okay, do meat warning.
Meat warning hint. Are you ready? A popular brand of processed meat issued a warning about a new spicy flavor. That'd be a good meat warning.
Spicy flavor.
B, the UN issued a warning about a global shortage of ancient meat recipes.
We're running out.
You don't want to, you don't want to lose ancient meat recipes. No. What are you supposed to do with your ancient meat?
Supplies are limited.
Leave it out for the coyotes. Okay, next, let's see.
And C, new research has concluded there is no safe amount of processed meat to consume.
C.
C.
Oh, Lisa. Why she's...
Oh my God! That's beating me on the speed, man.
I know it's you're now tied. It's six
you're
points.
You're competitive,
each.
Steve, but I'm sneaky.
According to CTV News, new research published on July 3rd suggests there is no safe amount of processed meat to eat. The study linked even small consumption of processed meat to increased risk of type 2 diabetes, ischemic heart disease, colorectal cancer. Dr. Hale, the lead author, emphasized that, quote, habitual consumption of even small amounts of processed meat is linked to increased risk of these diseases. I never had like salami sandwiches, bologna sandwiches when I was growing up at school. Did you guys have that kind of stuff when you were younger all the time? Like a lot of kids I knew growing up had, that was their lunch every day.
Well, I'm Italian, so yeah, I had Italian meat sandwiches growing up.
Would they be qualified as processed meat?
It's processed, but it's like cured, so like,
yeah, as opposed to like ground up and reformed in squares.
I feel like I don't know,
this is one of those things where like research shows that everything is at least a little bad for you.
Yeah,
sure.
And like if you lay off of like having hot dogs at a barbecue, you'll live forever, but at what cost?
This sounds like a guy who likes his processed meat.
Absolutely.
But you won't live forever because something else will kill you. More than two cups of coffee a day, right?
Just ask that coyote.
Right? A bus could come along at any point.
Exactly. You could get hit by a bus at any moment. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wasn't there a study that came out years ago that said like 3 hot dogs a week was okay? And back then I was like, I don't know about that, man. I don't know.
3 hot dogs a week?
Yeah, something like that.
Who's got that kind of
Oscar Mayer was the one that put it out. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Nothing after a long day, a long hard day at work, come back. Crack open a wiener.
Do it. I was going to say, how are you going to introduce that?
Just sit by yourself in your den, contemplate the day, choking down a wiener.
Just sitting there with your can of Spam, living your best life.
Oh, just shaving it off, just the little Spam whittling. Oh, that's some good stuff. Some good stuff.
I'm not even gonna.
So that was our meat warning portion of the headline. So coyote bites birthday boy, Pope's ancient vacation sparks meat warning.
Now that we've talked about wieners, let's talk about the Pope. Okay.
Talk about the Pope's
ancient vacation. Mm-hmm. Didn't he literally just become the Pope?
Well, you're saying he hasn't worked hard enough
yet? It's a lot of work. A lot of blessing people all day.
Gets made into Pope and gets the hat fitted. And he's like, you know, I'm going to take off for the summer here, friends. Yeah, exactly.
It's July. No, I'm out of here, man. I'm usually gone for most of those months anyway.
Is the Pope ever really on vacation?
I remember this. This might not be about the current Pope. This might be some...
If you want to take a stab at this is your chance to do a tiebreaker because it's 6 points each currently. So you could break this wide open. Like a canister.
It's so I'm pretty sure it's some historical record was found that showed a trip that a Pope took at some point in history, but I don't know if that's specific enough to get me a point.
No, it's not. It is not.
Which means you're wrong. Okay.
Exactly.
Curses.
Multiple choice.
You want multiple choice? Okay, I'll give you multiple choice. Yeah, sure. Yeah. This is exciting. Here goes. A. The Pope announced a new spiritual retreat in an ancient remote monastery. B. The Pope is reviving the centuries-old tradition of popes taking summer vacations at Castel Gandolfo. Or C. A papal decree was issued, urging all Catholics to take more ancient-themed vacations.
B.
A.
Oh, interesting. And the answer is B.
That's correct. Rock so that's the at multiple yes. choice.
I tried.
7-6.
Both seem credible, and I know very little about the Pope.
Yeah. I thought I could throw you off with the Gandolfo. But this is, according to Catholic news agency, entirely trustworthy, I'm sure. Pope Leo will spend part of his summer vacation to Castel Gandolfo, a papal residence south of Rome from July 6th to the 20th. This marks the first time a reigning pope will stay in Castel Gandolfo for a summer break in over a decade, reviving a tradition largely discontinued by Pope Francis. The pope is expected to celebrate mass at the local parish of Castel Gandolfo. I've said that a lot. On July 30th and the 20th. So if you happen to be close to Castel Gandolfo, which is just across the street from the Pizza Pizza, be sure to tune in to his mass or whatever he does. I don't know what he does.
I'm sure it'll be a real barn burner, that one.
Oh, it's going to be poperific.
But who stays there? Who stays there when the, like, is it just empty and then the pope just goes in July?
I think it's in the name, Lisa. Gandalf.
No, they rent it out as an Airbnb.
Wouldn't that be great?
Just down the road from
this place got robes. These aren't just regular robes. There's a hat too.
These are plush, jewels, everything.
Unfortunately, we do have to load the dishwasher before we leave.
Exactly.
Strip the sheets down.
I can tell you a side story about that. In our Airbnb in London, Shannon asked her sister, who lives in London, if we could borrow some detergent for the dishwasher because we'd ran out before the night before we left. And she wanted to do one more. We wanted to do one more load, get all the stuff all nice and clean to be good guests, keep our rating up, all that kind of stuff. And so we got these incredible sheets. They're like a half a sheet of regular piece of paper, and they're perforated. And Shannon said, how much do I use? And her sister said, well, I use two. And her sister's husband, Nick, said, I use three or four. We're like, God, they must be really weak. So we put two in, started the dishwasher up, walk away, get stuff organized. We turn around. I see foam pouring out of the dishwasher all over the floor. It took us another hour to get organized, but we got it sorted. So just be aware, if you get those sheets for the dishwasher in the UK, one is plenty. That's all you need is one.
Maybe it's the size of the dishwasher.
Well, they're all tiny, aren't they?
I don't know. Everything's tiny in the UK. I love that they have their washing machines in their kitchens in the UK. I like that.
I do like
that. Yeah. I lived in the UK for a while, and I did not love having the washing machine in the kitchen because it was shared amongst like five people.
Oh yeah,
ick.
Because I lived like student style in the UK.
Right. Yeah.
Much less pleasant that way.
I don't want other people's stuff traipsing through the kitchen. That's not good.
Here's my problem with the UK, their whole washing machine situation.
Oh, he's got the, and he's got the pen.
I'm pointing with the pen. Exactly. I'm pointing with the pen. For those of you listening at home, I'm directing the pen at you. Here's my problem with people in the UK and the washing machines. Is that they don't have, there's not a lot of dryers. Everyone's hanging stuff out.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Who wants like paper cardboardy jeans?
Yeah.
Who wants that?
Fascinated by that, like the most humid nation imaginable.
Yes.
Insists on line drying clothes. All their clothes.
Yeah. I did a load of washing. Should be dry in, I don't know, month?
Six and a half days.
7 to 10 business days.
You really have to plan your outfits in the UK. You can't just decide in a whim. Yes.
Let's review the points from this first ever version of Podcast is Broken, which I'm calling Make It Make Sense. That seems like a good name. Mm-hmm. I like that?
I like
Make
it.
Make Sense? Yeah. And the score is Steve with 6 points and Lisa with 7.
It's because of the speed.
Y'all thought I was the underdog. Wow.
I have never heard the crowd that happy with this show. They're still going. Yeah. Oh, no, they've stopped.
I gave them all hugs.
They abruptly stopped.
Before.
Like, oh, God, he can hear us. Oh, my God.
Thanks, friends.
Well, there you go. Well, congratulations, Lisa. You're the first winner ever of Make It Make Sense. And it was pretty fun. I thought it was all right.
I liked it. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. We learned a little. Yep. We laughed a lot.
What more could you ask for in an hour?
I was hoping
we'd
just cut there. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, thanks so much for watching and you're listening to Podcast is Broken. Remember, you can find us at brittlestar.com or podcastisbroken.ca or on your favorite podcasting platform. And we appreciate you following and subscribing and sharing and all that kind of stuff. And we also, you can find us on YouTube. There's a Podcast is Broken YouTube channel, which has longer clips from each episode. And I don't have anything to do with it. Which is good because I do a lot.
You do.
Really, when you think about it. You know what I mean? I do a lot of pointing.
You need to go to Costo Gandolfo and have our little rest.
That's how I'm going to find out what you were talking about when I was way chasing dogs and cats. And
wow.
It was all good.
Learn about your shenanigans.
What'd you call it? Animal personnel. You're being animal personnel.
Your team.
For animals, by animals. Thanks so much for watching and listening, everyone. Take care. For those of you who are paid subscribers, get ready for the improvised theme song, which is maybe something we'll cut as well. But if not, we're going to keep doing it until we stop doing it. So thanks so much. Take care, everyone.
Take care of yourselves.
Bye, everybody.
You can find past episodes and more at podcastisbroken.ca or your favorite podcast platform.